Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up today, for some of us, it was yesterday. We go back 15 years to remember September 11th, 2001, the day that changed the world. Mother Teresa, the Church's latest saint, one journalist's special memories. But first, Linda Bordoni takes a look at Pope Francis's general audience for Wednesday, September 7th.
Speaking to the pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square for the weekly general audience, the Pope reflected on the gospel reading of the day, which speaks of God's infinite mercy. Taking his cue from St. Matthew's Gospel account of how John the Baptist, who was imprisoned both in a cell and in the darkness of a heart that failed to understand Jesus' humble style, the Pope said John the Baptist was upset because his expectations regarding Jesus' ministry were not what he anticipated. Contrary to what he had imagined, God, Francis said, did not send his Son to punish sinners and crush the wicked. Rather, he came to invite them to conversion. And pointing out that Jesus is the concrete instrument of the Father's mercy that brings consolation and salvation to all, the Pope urged those present not to create false images of the Messiah for their own use and consumption. For this, he explained, prevents us from experiencing his real presence amongst us. Some, he said, reduce him to a false idol, using his name to justify their interests, or even hatred and violence. And others consider Christ a mere good master of ethical teachings, one amongst many in history. Let us renew our commitment to remove every obstacle that prevents us from experiencing the merciful works of our Father, the Pope concluded. And let us ask him for an ever deeper faith so that we may be signs and instruments of his mercy. I'm Linda Bordoni.
This is CNN breaking news.
There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. There was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. Again, this is going on now in two cities. We have a report that there is a fire.
It was an event that changed the course of world history. Few will forget that fatal September 11th, 2001, when hijackers turned passenger jets into deadly weapons, killing thousands of innocent civilians of all nationalities in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. In 2015, Pope Francis visited what had become known as Ground Zero, the place where two planes brought down New York's Twin Towers. In one of the most poignant moments of his apostolic visit to the United States, Pope Francis prayed there with religious leaders of interfaith communities, remembering all those who lost their lives. Sean Patrick Lovett was there.
An escalator takes you down, down, down into the bowels of the earth, to bedrock. You're standing on the concrete foundations that once supported the tallest buildings in New York, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. The dimly lit, cavernous space is daunting and deeply disturbing. It feels like being buried alive inside a primordial tomb. You know that everyone else feels it too, because all 400 people there are whispering in hushed tones, chastened by the enormity and the emptiness of it all. Your eye is drawn to the only object in the space, a massive 12-meter-high steel girder rising like an ancient funeral stele in this nothingness. It's still covered with mementos, memorial inscriptions, and missing person posters, placed there by rescue personnel and families searching for their loved ones. This is the National September 11th Memorial and Museum, built to bear solemn witness to the terrorist attacks that took the lives of nearly 3,000 people, to honour the victims and those who risk their lives to save others, but also to celebrate the victory of human dignity over human depravity. It's a tangible, sensorial reminder of how, in the words of Pope Francis, a place of death can become a place of life too, a hymn to the triumph of life over the profits of destruction and death. But most of all, it's a reminder of the power and importance of memory. Many of us can recall in exact detail where we were or what we were doing on that terrible day in 2001, the day the world changed. How our reactions of shock, disbelief, and horror followed one another in mind-numbing succession. I believe Jorge Bergoglio shared those same sensations at the time. He certainly communicated profound emotion when he visited the site for the multi-religious gathering held at Ground Zero. "Here grief is palpable," he said. "Here we mourn the wrongful and senseless loss of innocent lives because of the inability to find solutions that respect the common good." And yet, the fact of so many religious confessions, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, Zoroastrians, coming together to pray for peace stood out as a powerful, tangible, sensorial sign of the shared desire to be forces of reconciliation and unity over hatred and division.
A word of love, compassion, and healing. Look on us, people of many different faith and religious traditions.
Namaste. Om Sahana Bhavatu.
Jayang Verang Pasavati Dukhang Seti Param.
Vaheguru, Sanu Sade Achar Tun Janda Hai.
Makari Ibtuhi Tupnevmati.
Allahumma Anta Salam.
Again, in the words of Pope Francis, to be prophets, not of tearing down, but of building up. And by the way, do you remember where you were on September 11th? I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
I was in my office in Baltimore, and somebody came rushing in and said, "Turn on the television. A plane crashed into the World Trade Center."
Speaking to Vatican Radio on the 15th anniversary of the attacks, U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See Ken Hackett remembered where he was on 9/11.
Lo and behold, we saw the second one crash. And at that moment, I was working as the president of Catholic Relief Services, so I had people in 100 countries around the world, and once we had an inkling that this was an attack, we immediately put our emergency procedures into place to contact our people around the world, because I didn't know what was going to happen, and anything could happen. This was the largest attack on American soil ever. 3,000 people lost their lives.
So even bigger than Pearl Harbor.
Yes. And people of all nationalities and faiths. I mean, everybody was there. The World Trade Center is an enormous place. So it was a very, very, very disturbing event that just kept getting worse during the day when the plane hit the Defense Department and then the fourth plane went down in Pennsylvania. We didn't know what was taking place.
What was going through your mind while you were watching that unfold on television? What were you feeling?
Protect my staff around the world. You know, we didn't know it was really an act of terror. Things just kept happening. That's why we went into emergency mode. It was shocking. And there's a sense of helplessness and just the enormity of it. Having lived in Manhattan, right up the street from the World Trade Center, I knew what it was like down there on any workday. There were thousands and thousands of people, and then to see the cloud of dust as the towers collapsed. Even very early, you saw heroic acts of police and fire people. And I think there were like 300 or 400 police and fire people that were killed in this as they attempted to rescue people.
In fact, many people have said, you know, it really brought out the best of the American people.
Yes, maybe that will be the legacy and not just the horror of 3,000 people dying. But there was so many acts of selflessness as people tried to be of assistance and to respond. That was the positive element of it. We can offer our prayers to those families because they're suffering, those people who lost people in the World Trade Center. They will suffer forever, and we can't know their suffering. But we can offer our prayers and continue to remember on this 15th anniversary.
But let's go back now to 2001. Speaking to Vatican Radio not long after the attacks on the Twin Towers, Cardinal Edward Egan of New York thanked Americans and people the world over for their solidarity and prayers.
This event here in New York of the World Trade Towers, the attack, has done immense damage to many, many people. Thousands have lost jobs. People have lost their businesses. Many people's lives have been turned upside down by the loss of wife and husband and child and friend and so forth. There are many, many people hurting for many, many reasons. And I would encourage your listeners to keep us in your prayers. We are a strong people, but we're a people that have been very gravely hurt by a terrible crime. And the understanding and the support of all the Catholic world will be welcomed and gratefully received.
The Pope at the time was John Paul II, who expressed shock and horror over the senseless bloodshed to befall the American people.
Today, my heartfelt sympathy is with the American people, subjected yesterday to inhuman terrorist attacks which have taken the lives of thousands of innocent human beings and caused unspeakable sorrow in the hearts of all men and women of goodwill.
James Nicholson had just arrived in Rome when the attacks occurred. On September 13, 2001, a shaken but determined Nicholson presented his credentials to Pope John Paul II as the United States' new ambassador to the Holy See.
He was still grief-stricken, as were we, as were all of the world, and he said to me that this certainly was not just an attack on the United States, it was an attack on humanity.
Yesterday was indeed a dark day in our history, an appalling offense against peace, a terrible assault against human dignity. I ask God to grant the American people the strength and courage they need at this time of sorrow and trial.
Americans found that they still possess this innate sort of organic sense of patriotism and love of each other and love for our freedom that we tend to take for granted on a daily basis in your life until something like this happens that threatens it. And it just caused an enormous outpouring of cohesion in our country. And it's also caused an increased awareness that this was not just an attack against the United States, that the whole world, the free world, people loving civilization and a rule of law are threatened by this, and that it only takes a relatively small number of people to disrupt this freedom and civilized life that people are enjoying and that have taken for granted.
I had to sum up 9/11. I would say it was a time in which people taught this nation and the world how to be strong and how to be willing to sacrifice themselves for others. There was no indication in any of this that anyone was in there for anything but to help the other guy, anyone that might be underground, and then anyone who might be hurting as a result. And I really felt that if you want to sum it up, it was a tragedy, it was a crime, but it was a magnificent manifestation of courage and willingness to sacrifice self. The whole story of 9/11 is what it is, but there was so much goodness there that the evil was, I think, not only conquered, it was smothered.
In 2008, Pope Benedict knelt and prayed at the empty pit and construction site that was once New York's Twin Towers. The Holy Father blessed the site and prayed for peace and healing.
God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of men and women, and peace among the nations of the earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. God of understanding, overwhelmed by the magnitude of this tragedy, we seek your light and guidance as we confront such terrible events. Grant that those whose lives were spared may live so that the lives lost here may not have been lost in vain. Comfort and console us, strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all.
Many people have asked, where was God on 9/11? The parish priest of St. Peter's Church, which used to stand in the shadow of the Twin Towers, has no doubt. He was always there. It was just that people didn't know where to look.
My belief is that God is always with us, even in the most terrible of circumstances, and that became evident in the very day itself. We saw the heroism and the sacrifice of the first responders, the firefighters, the police officers, you know, taking all sorts of risks, even giving their lives to be able to save people. And then in the days, the weeks, the months afterwards, so many people came here to see what way they could be of assistance and be able to try and rescue people. And then that stage finished, then just trying to find the remains of those who had died to be able to return them to their families.
Father Kevin Madigan was on his way back to the rectory from the 18th century Catholic Church in Lower Manhattan when he heard a plane had crashed into one of the Twin Towers. He spent the rest of that day and weeks to come welcoming and comforting rescue and relief workers, the dead and the bereaved.
My hope is that we be able to see what were the causes for this whole thing. One of the questions people ask me over and over again is, why do they hate us so much? And I think behind that question is a sense that we were totally innocent and they were totally at fault. And any kind of a conflict, there's always two sides to the story. And while I would under no circumstances believe that there was any justification for this attack, there were factors that occasioned it, started, and I think that if we can see, you know, what are the causes of these resentments, the causes of these grievances, and is there anything that we can do as Americans to try and change the situation so such terrible things don't happen again?
Timothy Dolan was the auxiliary bishop of St. Louis, Missouri in September 2001, but in the spring of 2009, he became the new Archbishop of New York. My colleague Chris Altieri spoke to him about the events of 9/11 and how they continue to impact his life and the lives of so many others.
The Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, says that September 11th and the questions it posed continue to be present to the people of his city.
There would not be a person in New York that would not have a poignant September 11th recollection. It would be rare that you would meet someone in this archdiocese that would not have been close to someone who lost his or her life on that tragic day.
Continuing to find words for the horror in the immediate aftermath of the day, Blessed John Paul II said, "The human heart has depths from which schemes of unheard-of ferocity sometimes emerge, capable of destroying in a moment the daily life of a people. But faith comes to our aid at these times when words seem to fail. Christ's word is the only one that can give a response to the questions which trouble our spirit. Even if the forces of darkness appear to prevail," said Blessed John Paul II, "those who believe in God know that evil and death do not have the final say.
Christian hope is based on this truth. Archbishop Dolan went on to reflect that what he was calling September 12th really began on September 11th itself.
New Yorkers, especially, did not just wallow in the sorrow, the anger, a sense of loss, but almost immediately they began to serve, they began to reach out, and they began to heal. What we celebrate as well is the sacrificial love that in many cases led to the ultimate sacrifice, particularly among our police officers, firefighters, and rescue workers, that this community rallied around an unprecedented tragedy. You will see here in the Archdiocese continual outreach to the families, continual prayer, acts of tribute and memorial, that now have kind of answered the question that any man or woman of faith must ask, where does God want us to go from here? How does God want us to react to this senseless violence that is against everything that he has taught us through his holy word? And New Yorkers have said, we experienced a communal solidarity. We hold our heads high in the sacrificial love and service of our police, our firefighters, and our rescue workers. Parishes, communities, neighborhoods, and families came together. And to this day, taking care of those who were wounded and tending to the ongoing sense of loss about many of our people is a priority in the New York community. The greatest thing that the church can give, of course, is faith and hope and love. And the Catholic community of the Archdiocese of New York has done that abundantly. So you help people heal. You help people forgive. You help people recover a sense of hope at a desperate moment. And you teach especially that revenge is useless, that anger, righteous anger, that is certainly biblically grounded, leads to reconciliation and renewal. And then in a way, the best way to get even is to rebuild. The best way to get even is to show that nothing can destroy a spirit in people of faith, which is a spirit that the American people have taken seriously since the dawn of our republic, that we are at our best when we emphasize and affirm what is most noble in our project, namely a sense of helping those who are hurt, a sense of rebuilding what we hold dear, a sense of proper mourning with reverent gratitude for those who have died, and a sense of helping their families get their lives back together. A tragedy can either further divide us, or a tragedy can bring us together. Will it bring us closer to God? Will it tap into the most noble sentiments in the human heart? Or will it reduce us? Will it bring out what is base? For the vast majority of in the New York community, September 11th became an occasion that brought out what was best in this community that we cherish. So an act that was most base and which most violated everything that's honorable in the human heart. From that came amazingly heroic, profoundly uplifting sentiments of rescue, outreach, healing, and memory. And that is well worth thanking God for.
And back now to Vatican Radio Studios. In 1981, the director of the English service, Jean Patrick Lovett, was a curious young journalist with a special relationship with the church's latest saint, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He remembers her with Chris Wells.
Every time she came here, she would come into the Vatican Radio and we'd do a brief interview or I'd go and visit her. And the deal was that one day, sitting in a studio, she said the famous words, which were, "I think I have come to you often enough. I think it is time you came to me." And that's what happened, and that's how I ended up in Calcutta.
What was it like?
There was I, young and innocent, with all my gadgets and gizmos and my recording equipment over my shoulders and my pen behind my ear, and thinking I was the hottest shot, you know, on the planet. And I arrive at her convent, and she comes to meet me, and the first thing she says is, "Take it off." I say, "Excuse me?" She says, "All that stuff, you're not going to need it." And I say, "But the, you know, this is my camera, this is my pen, this is my notepad, this is my record." "You're not going to need that," she says. "All you need are your hands." And that was the first lesson, and that's the lesson, and that's the lesson that I take with me and I carry with me literally in my hands to this very day. Because the first experience, she said, that I want you to have is with my leper colony. So you're going with my sisters this afternoon. You're going to spend some days with the lepers. And if you look at them, you won't be able to bear what you see because it's so hideously ugly. And if you listen with your ears, you won't be able to sleep at night for the cries of the children. And you'll have to plug your nose because the smell of rotting flesh is dreadful. But you will need to use your hands because that's what they need. They need the warmth of your touch, the warmth of your care, because their body is the body of Jesus. I wouldn't be the person I am today if it had not been for my encounter with her.
Did you know she was a saint when you met her?
Of course you did. Everything about her was saintly, even though, and this I'm happy to say, as a personality, she was so down to earth. She was incredibly pragmatic. Anybody who met her will tell you how practical and down to earth she was. I know from friends she used to stay with in the United States of America when she was trying to set up houses there. One of her particular quirks was if she was staying in your house and you had a crucifix or two in the room she was sleeping in, when she left, that crucifix wasn't there anymore. She used to take crucifixes, which she would then distribute amongst the houses that she was visiting. These are her particular quirks. I remember one of the first days that I was there with her in Calcutta, her stopping in the street and leaning over this man who was lying in the gutter. And people lying in the gutter, they were either dead or dying or... But in this case, she kicked him. Saints don't kick people lying in the gutter, do they? But she did. And apparently she knew him, and he was neither dead nor dying. He was just drunk. And he was regularly drunk, and she'd warned him before on several occasions, forced him to get up out of the gutter and proceed to her convent, where her sisters gave him some very strong coffee to bring him back to her senses. So yes, of course, everything about her, in her prayer life and her spirituality, and her, was saintly, but it was coupled with this marvelous, down-to-earth, pragmatic, practical, physical humanity. And it's one of the things that I think makes her most lovable.
With that very practical, down-to-earth bit of her, what do you think she'd make of all of this hullabaloo of her being made a saint?
She probably wouldn't be there. She'd send a delegate to the event, and you'd find her on a little mat on her knees, head bent, hands drawn together in prayer in her private chapel. That's where she would be.
Sean Patrick Lovett is the editor of The Best Gift of God is Love, Meditations by Mother Teresa. And that's all for today's broadcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. Laudator Jesus Christus.